Hello and welcome to the Decorum Talking Newspaper for the week ending Saturday the 30th of August 2025. This is Andrew and your other readers are Penny, Graham and Mary. The editor this week is also Mary. And we welcome Penny to Team 4 this week and thank her for standing in for one of our regulars. This week, Team 4 is sponsored by Neptune Heating and Plumbing. Whatever heating or plumbing services you may need, speak to Neptune, the heating and plumbing experts. Call them on 737 916. All our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Berkhamsted and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442 unless stated otherwise. The headlines this week are: hundreds have their say on healthcare, memorable day for GCSE students, apartment complete, and makeover for pub. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, this is Penny speaking. Decorum Borough Council says its consultation regarding a new health centre being constructed in Hemel Hempstead has now closed. Residents had until August the 21st to have their say on plans to construct a new health campus in the town. An online survey was opened last month regarding the new centre, which would be built in Market Square. NHS officials and the authority have released the plans in a bid to improve hospital, GP, mental health, social care, wellbeing and community services in the borough. It is hoped that the scheme would form part of larger proposals to provide joined-up care throughout the region, in line with the government's 10-year plan for the NHS. The survey was accessible via the Let's Talk Decorum website, and new data released by the council last week showed that over 5,600 people had visited the site, with over 700 residents filling out the survey. During the consultation period, the Borough Council has revealed that in-person events were held in Hemel Hempstead and Berkhamsted to explain more about the proposals. NHS and council staff have also attended a number of Decorum community events, sharing information and answering questions about the plans, a spokesperson for the authority added. More events are planned for next month, Decorum Borough Council adds. Some will take place online and others will be held in person, the authority has revealed. These will be advertised and promoted in the next few weeks online, on social media and through community groups, the council also confirmed. Sheena Phillips, Programme Director for the Hemel Health Campus, said, "We know people are very passionate about their local health service and rightly so. We all want to improve and strengthen services for our local communities so they provide the preventative care people need and in the joined up, simple and effective way that residents want. We are exploring how we best do that and we really value people's thoughts and views about the proposed health campus."
Hello, I'm Graham. Students at Independent Day School, Abbots Hill, were all smiles on Thursday morning as they gathered in school to collect their much-anticipated GCSE results. The school is delighted to reveal that this year's Year 11 cohort have achieved record-breaking results, with 64% of its students achieving top grades 7 to 9, compared with the 23% national average, and 21% of all grades were grade 9. The total average GCSE grade across the entire year group being a grade 7. Head at Abbots Hill School, Sharon Shansheaf, reflected on this year's hard-working cohort. "We are so incredibly proud of our students. Today is a day of celebration and excitement for the future for our Year 11 cohort. It has been wonderful to see so many of them collecting their results in school this morning and to witness the inspiring peer support and camaraderie that such a day brings. Our students have secured amazing, well-deserved grades, and they should be so proud of the focus and determination they have shown over recent months." Students at Abbots Hill will go on to study more than 30 different A-level and or BTEC subjects at more than 20 different institutions. Popular subjects include maths, history, biology, sociology and psychology. Students are moving on to a wide range of institutions for sixth form, from independent schools to grammar schools and state sixth forms for further study, including St Albans School, Berkhamsted, Aldenham, St Columbus, Beaumont, Sandringham, St George's, Roundwood School and Chesham Grammar. Abbots Hill is also immensely proud of its value add score, which shows the journey students make since joining the school in Year 7.
Berkhamsted boys and Berkhamsted girls are celebrating record-breaking GCSE results, with 75% achieving grades 7 to 9, even higher than the results achieved in the COVID years. In addition, a remarkable 25% of results were at the top grade 9. With strong GCSE results in hand, pupils at Berkhamsted Boys and Berkhamsted Girls are now excited to be transitioning to Berkhamsted 6th, where the new Zaha Hadid building, the pastoral, academic and career support, and the continued focus on character development will help not only to create the conditions for their success at A-level, but also to prepare them exceptionally well for university and or the professional world. If you'd like to discover more about the opportunities at Berkhamsted and see firsthand how we support pupils to thrive both academically and personally, we warmly invite you to join us at one of our upcoming open events. Sports Open Event on Thursday, 4th of September in the evening. Berkhamsted Girls Open Event Friday, 19th of September in the morning. And Berkhamsted Boys Open Event Friday, 19th of September in the afternoon.
Thursday saw another celebration of great GCSE results for Laureate Academy students. For the second year running, students achieved the highest GCSE grades in the school's history. More students achieved a 5+ on average across their subjects than in any previous year. Today marks a brilliant milestone for our students as they get to celebrate their hard work, said Ruthie Jacobs, principal of Laureate Academy. This year's results saw strong grades and vast improvements across a wide range of subjects, particularly for the highest achieving students. Triple science results were exceptional. 90% of biology and physics students received a 5+, and over half of triple science students achieved a 7+ in all three subjects. Twice as many students achieved a grade 7 or above in maths and English than ever before. French and German results increased significantly at 7+, with 25% of students getting a 7+. 43% of music students achieved a 7+ grade. Geography students achieved a huge strength, with nearly one-third of them achieving a 7+. Over 50% of computing students achieved a 7+ grade. 100% of students achieved a 5+ in Latin, and 87% achieved a 7+. Results increased significantly in ancient history, humanities and RS at both 4+ and 5+. These results truly demonstrate the success that occurs when students' high aspirations are combined with effort and hard work, added Miss Jacobs.
The Adeyfield Academy is proud to celebrate the achievements of the Year 11s who have achieved the best results in the school for a number of years. The science faculty celebrated notable progress and strong results this year. This continued success across subjects is not only reflected in the growth of student numbers, including our largest sixth form intake to date, but also in outcomes, demonstrating the continued progress and trajectory of the school. Head teacher Dawn Mason praised the cohort not only for their academic results, but for the integrity and resilience they have shown throughout their time at the academy. We are incredibly proud of our students. This year group has embodied our school values and truly lived up to the qualities of a 5-star student. Their results today are a reflection of their determination and character as much as their academic talent.
A pub in Hemel Hempstead is temporarily closing, so an extensive renovation of the venue can be carried out. It has been confirmed that the Three Tuns in Nashmills will be closed between August 26 and September 20 for a major makeover. Mary Keenan, a Hemel Hempstead resident who runs the bar, approved the upgrades after she confirmed plans to become the property's leaseholder. She had previously been looking after her local pub on a temporary basis while a long-term investor could be secured. Mary authorised upgrades of the property to secure its long-term future and start her tenure as the permanent landlady of the business. Heineken-owned umbrella company Star Pubs has revealed that the bar had been shut for 6 months before Mary came into the fold, and the company has revealed that £150,000 has been allocated to the makeover. The Three Tons had been closed for 6 months when Mary gave up her role as a carer to take it on 2 years ago. She already had experience of running pubs, as prior to caring she held several pub management positions, Star Pubs revealed. Her achievements over the past 2 years include redecorating the interior of the pub and redesigning the bar with the help of some of her locals. Star Pubs adds that she has hired 10 people and brought live sports screens, quizzes and other entertainment events to the venue.
To further improve the bar, Star Pubs has confirmed that the six-figure investment will go towards new flooring and a new carpet will be fitted, new signage, an upgrade of the bar area and lighting. Star Pubs hopes the upgrades will give the bar a smarter look and feel more in keeping with the interior. Mary said, "The Three Tons was my little local. I didn't want it to remain closed, so I opened it on a wing and a prayer, urging residents to use it or lose it. My parents had pubs in Buckinghamshire. I managed my first one, aged 21, and continued to run pubs for several years. I'd been out of this industry for 5 years working as a carer when I realised that I needed to step in if I wanted my local to stay open. I'm doing everything in my book of tricks to ensure the Three Tons will be here in 20 years' time. The only thing left to do was give it a facelift, which Star Pubs and I are now doing. It's a real community hub, attracting people of all ages and backgrounds. Women in their 50s and 60s tell me they feel comfortable coming into the pub on their own, which I'm delighted about, as it's important for me that everyone feels safe and welcome. We put on afternoon teas and have darts and pools teams, bingo, quizzes and lots of events. Recently we had 20 musicians in the garden helping to raise funds for the Mount Vernon Cancer Unit. We also put on Halloween parties and local school for local school children and Christmas and Easter parties."
Construction work has finished at Bellway's Millworks development in King's Langley. Bellway North London has built all 65 apartments at the site of Home Park, Mill Link Road, which was formerly home to the engineering department of West Harts College. The house builder has delivered a collection of one- and two-bedroom properties at Millworks, each with either a balcony or terrace and its own allocated parking space in a gated car park. The apartments are on the eastern side of the one-acre site overlooking the Mill Stream, which has been opened up as part of the scheme and is incorporated in a landscaped open space with seating. Zoe Dobbs, Bellway North London sales manager, said, "It's a very significant milestone for the North London team to see the end of the build programme at Millworks, where construction work started in 2022. The development has proved to be very popular. This collection of stylish modern apartments has transformed this former college campus site into a new community situated in a desirable location. The site is close to King's Langley Station, which is a direct service into Euston in less than half an hour, and the M25 is easily accessible from the village. The fact that Millworks is a 15-minute stroll from the shops, restaurants and pubs in the centre of King's Langley has been a big attraction for many people. It's great to see the residents here enjoying life in this thriving village community." Bellway North London bought the land for Millworks from West Harts College in 2020, helping to finance the relocation of the college's students and teachers to a new state-of-the-art building in Hemel Hempstead. The development was named Millworks to reflect the site's history as the location of paper mills over centuries, as well as its later engineering college use. The five-storey apartment building was also designed to incorporate mill-style gables and roof lines to provide an architectural link with the past. Bellway North London has given more than £330,000 towards local services and infrastructure through the Community Infrastructure Levy, CIL, for Millworks, as well as supporting apprenticeship training at the site.
A basement nightclub in Hemel Hempstead, formerly home to Reds, looks set to be given a new lease of life. The club at 25A in the High Street is preparing to become a venue known as The Sparrow. Earlier this month, Decorum Borough Council's planning department granted permission for a new sign to go up outside the premises following an application by GDWL Limited. Sydney Phillips, a leisure and hospitality estate agent, confirmed that they had let the club to experienced London operators. A statement from Sydney Phillips said, "The premises comprise an open plan bar area with alcove seating and are set to be overhauled to create a new and exciting late night venue called The Sparrow. The premises were let on a new free of tie lease agreement to experienced London operators. They described the site as part of a drinking circuit on the old town's high street."
Hertfordshire farmers highlighted the devastating impact of fly tipping during a meeting with police leaders and MPs after 200 tonnes of waste was dumped on a farm in the county. The National Farmers Union organised the meeting to push the need for an urgent shake-up of the way the crime is dealt with and make clear how industrial-scale fly tipping is being carried out by organised criminal gangs on a regular basis in Hertfordshire. The meeting was held weeks after 200 tonnes of waste was dumped on a farm, which has attracted widespread national and local media attention. With farmers and landowners legally responsible for clearing rubbish dumped on private land, the farmer could be facing a bill of more than £40,000. NF New member and arable farmer Will Dickinson hosted the roundtable meeting at his farm near St Albans. He said, "This was an important opportunity to put the issue of fly tipping clearly under the spotlight. Fly tipping is a huge issue in Hertfordshire, damaging the environment, seriously disrupting farmers' work and costing farmers tens of thousands of pounds in clear-up costs. It is a complete travesty of justice that farmers and landowners who are the victims of the crime are liable for the clear-up costs and could themselves face prosecution if they do not clear up the mess. Very few fly-tipping incidents result in prosecutions, and when people are convicted, they often receive a fine, which amounts to less than the cost of hiring a skip."
During the meeting, held as part of the NFU's ongoing lobbying work with all political parties, NFU members described frustrations over ineffective reporting systems and the need for a consistent, joined-up approach from the authorities responsible for dealing with the crime. The NFU is calling for five measures: further collaboration between land managers, local authorities, police and the Environment Agency to establish ownership of the issue, improve investigations and ensure fines are proportionate. Second measure, local authorities and the police to assist land managers in the clean-up and reporting of fly-tipped material. And the third measure, proactive prevention such as stop and search, highway initiatives with the police and the DVSA asking for waste carriers' licences and the waste transfer notes. Number four, a single reporting mechanism to be developed so farmers and land managers only have to report fly tipping once. Currently, victims may have to report incidents to multiple authorities, which is time-consuming, often confusing and frustrating. And the measure number five, work to ensure all householders are aware that responsibility for any of their waste is maintained through to its final disposal point, not when they pass it to a third party. The Hertfordshire Police and Crime Commissioner, Mr. Ash Edwards, said, "Fly tipping is a blight on our countryside. While local councils are the lead authorities, the police regularly run operations with other agencies to proactively check vehicles and disrupt fly tippers. My Fly Tipping Grant Scheme is one of the only initiatives in the country to help private landowners with clear-up costs and prevention measures. There is much more that needs to be done, including an increase in the local authority prosecutions and tougher consequences for waste criminals."
A care home in Hemel Hempstead hosted a classic car and bike show to the delight of residents and their families. The classic cars and motorbikes on display at Water Mill House Care Home prompted residents to reminisce and share stories, with many recalling their own experiences with similar vehicles. Water Mill House, located on Rose Lane, provides residential and nursing care and is a dementia and palliative care specialist home. Resident Craig Coverman, who's aged 60, is living with Parkinson's and moved into Watermill House in October 2023. He said, "Seeing that sleek black Ferrari instantly took me back to my Porsche days. The same thrill, the same elegance, just in a different badge." John Cousins, who's aged 92, said, "When I spotted the Morris Minor, I couldn't help but remember my own. I drove one just like it when I worked for the post office. It was more than just transport, it was part of my daily life." And Peter Wakeley, who's aged 81, added, "The Lotus 7 on display brought back a flood of memories. I used to own one, and the moment I saw it, I could almost feel the steering wheel in my hands again." The event was organised by the home's lifestyle coordinator, Colin Levy, with help from one of the home's respite residents, 87-year-old Robert Crawley, known as Bob. "Our Car and Bike Fest is a celebration of classic engineering, style and horsepower," explained Colin. "We had lots of support from the local community in helping us to secure a variety of vintage vehicles."
But a special moment, a special mention goes to Bob, who helped to make the event a success by calling on his old contacts in the industry. Former engineer Bob has a passion for classic motorsport and has worked on engineering projects for noted figures within the industry, including assisting Neil Twyman with his 1932 Alfa Romeo and Stanley Mann Racing with their legendary Blower Bentleys. "I was thrilled to support Colin in organising and curating the vehicles for the Care Home's first ever Car and Bike Fest," said Bob. "It was a fantastic afternoon. I had a wonderful time chatting with everyone about cars and motorbikes, and there was plenty of refreshments, including bacon rolls, teas and coffees, and even the odd beer." Colin added, "The display featured an eye-catching array of vehicles from the iconic red and white 1950s Chevrolet to a charming British Morris Traveller, a true nostalgic highlight for many of our residents. For performance lovers, we had the sleek lines of a Ferrari Stallion, a classic 1950s Lotus 7, and its modern successor, the Caterham. We also had some standout motorcycles, including a Harley-Davidson police bike and a beautifully preserved vintage British aerial." Home manager Victoria Forsyth added, "It was a wonderful afternoon and a great experience for our residents. We're looking forward to making it an annual event." The dedicated activities team at Watermill House Care Home offer a varied programme catering for all hobbies and interests, with access to a minibus for days out and trips to nearby places of interest.
Last Sunday, 24th August, for Ukraine Independence Day, the Ukrainian flag was raised and the Forum building was illuminated in the Ukrainian national colours of blue and yellow to show the decorum's community solidarity with the people of Ukraine. The Hemel branch of the Association of Ukrainians in Great Britain, the AUGB, unveiled a commemorative bench in Gaybridge Park on Ukraine's Independence Day. The bench features an inscription expressing their gratitude to the decorum community who have warmly opened their doors and offered support to Ukrainian families. "In Ukraine's darkest times, your support brought us hope. Your compassion will never be forgotten, with endearing gratitude, the Ukrainian community."
Netflix's much-anticipated film, The Thursday Murder Club, is due to be released on Thursday, 28th of August. Decorum Borough Council are pleased to have supported the filming of the production, which features an esteemed cast including Pierce Brosnan, Helen Mirren, Ben Kingsley and David Tennant. Filming took place during summer 2024, transforming Decorum's stunning village of Aldbury into Fairhaven, the setting of Richard Osman's 2020 murder mystery novel. Aldbury is a sought-after filming location due to its well-preserved historic buildings, which retain their original architecture, and its charming setting around the picturesque pond. Aldbury Parish Council spoke to the BBC News about their experience of filming in the village and shared some of the improvements that the filming funds have enabled, including refurbishing a school playground and adding a duck house to the village pond.
And now this week in history. On August the 30th, 1963, the hotline between the US President and the Soviet Premier was established to reduce the risk of an accidental nuclear war. On August the 31st, 2012, the German manufacturer of anti-morning sickness drug thalidomide apologised for the thousands of children born without limbs as a result of its use. On this day last year, a campaign to inoculate thousands of Palestinian infants in Gaza against polio began as humanitarian crisis fears deepened. On September the 1st, 1971, the British penny and the threepenny piece coins ceased to be legal tender as decimalisation continued. On September the 2nd, 1945, the formal Japanese surrender to the Allies was signed on board the American battleship USS Missouri. On this day last year, the mother of one of Britain's youngest criminals involved in the previous month's riots was summoned by a judge after missing her 12-year-old son's court appearance to go on holiday to Ibiza. On September the 3rd, 1962, the Trans-Canada Highway, 4,800 miles from St. John's, Newfoundland to Victoria, British Columbia, was opened. On this day last year, Cole Palmer, Ollie Watkins and Phil Foden withdrew from the England squad, the Football Association announced.
Now we come to the information slot. This is followed by the obituaries, what's on, and any more news.
News from the Macular Society. Research grants are for projects of up to 3 years' duration and up to £250,000, which covers everything from laboratory chemicals to salaries. Professor Mike Cheatham at University College London's Institute of Ophthalmology received £250,000 to research Stargardt disease. This is often caused by mutations in a gene called ABCA4. Mutations cause the ABCA4 protein produced to fold incorrectly and be removed from the cell. Without any ABCA4 protein, the macula becomes damaged, which causes vision loss. This project aims to fix the misfolding to restore ABCA4 in the cells and therefore maintain a healthy macula and stop the vision loss. The researchers are looking to see if they can find drugs to correct the ABCA4 folding and to hopefully restore ABCA4 function and keep the cells healthy. Drugs that can correct folding are being offered for other conditions, including cystic fibrosis. The team hope that this technology can also help Stargardt disease patients too. The hope is that if a drug can be found to correct ABCA4 misfolding, it can stop the progression of Stargardt disease. This is a brand new area of research and has already transformed the lives of people with cystic fibrosis.
The obituaries in the Gazette this week are Celia Sheila Lamberti, passed away on the 5th of August 2025 at Elton House Care Home, aged 83 years. The funeral service will have taken place at Hemel Hempstead Crematorium, Bunkers Park, on the 29th of August. David Frederick Lucas passed away on the 18th of July 2025, aged 76, at Watford General Hospital. The funeral service will have taken place at Hemel Hempstead Crematorium, Bunkers Park, on the 29th of August. May they rest in peace.
What's on at the Denby Theatre in Tring? A Streetcar Named Desire by Tennessee Williams from the 3rd of September to the 6th of September 2025. Tickets are from £8. In one of the most renowned plays in the American theatre, Blanche DuBois, a schoolteacher from Kentucky, arrives in New Orleans to take a streetcar named Desire to the French Quarter, where her sister Stella and Stella's husband Stanley Kowalski live barely above squalor. Blanche's affections of refinement set her immediately at odds with blue-collar Stanley, who's further incensed when he learns that his wife's aristocratic inheritance has been forfeited to creditors, believing that Blanche has sold the estate for personal profit and is swindling Stella and Stanley from sharing the proceeds. Also, the George Harrison Project. On the 14th of September 2025 at 7:30 p.m, tickets are £23. Enjoy the UK's ultimate live music tribute to George Harrison performing his best-loved hits from the Beatles, his solo career, and the Travelling Wilburys. And finally, Jeff Norcott, Basic Bloke 2. On the 18th September 2025 at 8 p.m, tickets are £20. There's No Bloke Without Fire, the latest tour from comedian, author, podcaster, radio host, and Jeff's first under a Labour government, so he's got plenty to get off his chest. Tickets are available online at Denby Theatre, that's D-E-M-B-E, theatre, without a space, .org.
What's on at the Old Town Hall in Hemel Hempstead? Dyad Productions present Austin's Women, Lady Susan. This is on Wednesday, September the 10th at 8 p.m. Meet Devil May Care Black Widow, Lady Susan, the most accomplished coquette in England, hunting down not one, but two fortunes. Oppressed, rebellious daughter Frederica, long-suffering sister-in-law Catherine, family matriarch Mrs. de Courcy, and insouciant best friend Alicia. Return to the Regency period, or rather Georgian, in this wickedly funny tale of society and the women trapped within it, their struggles, their desires, their temptations and manipulations. And at the vanguard, Lady Susan, charming, scheming, witty and powerful, always taking on society and making it her own. But has she met her match? Based on Jane Austen's first full-length work from 1794, the piece is performed by Rebecca Vaughan and it's directed by Andrew Margerison. This is Austen if you've never seen her before. To book, phone Hemel Hempstead 228091 or go online at oldtownhall.co.uk. Old Town Hall is all one word.
Theatre. It's time to get ready for The Quest of a Lifetime as The Lightning Thief, the Percy Jackson musical, heads to Milton Keynes. When New York City teenager Percy Jackson discovers that he is the half-blood son of the Greek god Poseidon, his life takes a dramatic turn as he is plunged into a world much bigger than he could possibly have imagined. With newly discovered powers, he is unable to control an unwanted destiny and a whole textbook's worth of mythical monsters on his trail. Percy must learn what it means to be a hero. Based on the beloved book series with more than 180 million copies sold worldwide, Percy Jackson's story has been adapted into films and a major hit TV series for Disney Plus. Producer Paul Taylor Mills said, "We're thrilled to bring Percy Jackson's epic journey to more UK audiences following the success we've had in London. This show is full of energy, humour and heart. Whether you're a long-time fan or new to the world of Camp Half-Blood, you're in for an unforgettable adventure. The Times called it a bolt of stage magic and a show that whisked you to another dimension, while The Guardian said catchy songs, original choreography and quirky spirit brings out the directness and humour of Rick Riordan's mythical quest. The show runs at Milton Keynes Theatre from September 3rd to 7th. Visit atgtickets.com/Milton Keynes to book or for more information.
Films at the cinema this week include, and that'll be Cineworld in Jarman Park, The Roses, a comedy, Caught Stealing, a drama, Toxic Avenger Uncut, a comedy thriller, Weapons, a horror film, Freakier Friday, a comedy, Materialists, a drama, Eddington, a comedy, The Life of Chuck, a sci-fi fantasy, The Fantastic Four, an action film, Nobody 2, an action film, The Naked Gun, 2025, a comedy, and Together, a horror film. All popular films are provided to cinemas with an audio description track. Please mention your requirements at the time of booking.
And a couple of future dates for your diary. Join the Housing Open Day at Grove Hill Adventure Playground on Saturday the 6th of September from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. This family-friendly event is an opportunity for you to speak to the Decorum housing teams and partners and get advice and information. Fun activities for children include laser tag and face painting. A free special pop-up exhibition will be held at Berkhamsted Civic Centre on Sunday the 21st of September from 10:30 in the morning until 3:30 in the afternoon as part of Heritage Open Days. The From Taste Wars to Star Wars, Advertising Food and Film Made in Hertfordshire exhibition will showcase two heritage collections, Decorum Heritage's Ovaltine Collection and the BFI National Archives Film Poster Collection from films made in the area. No need to book, just turn up and enjoy the art and activities.
An article from Herts County Council News. Councillors have agreed to implement a 3.2% pay award for Herts County Council's senior leadership team, in line with the rest of the authority's staff. A new pay award of 3.2% was agreed by the National Joint Council, the NJC, for local government workers. This is the organisation that sets paying conditions for 1.4 million council and staff across England, Wales and Northern Ireland, to take effect from April the 1st. The increase applies to all NJC pay points from 2 to 43, while the National Chief Executive pay settlement was also raised by 3.2%. At a meeting of the Employment Committee on Thursday, August the 14th, recommendations for the pay increases for the Council's senior leadership team were agreed. A report compiled by Senior Human Resources Manager Emily Austin stated that the recommendations are above the 25-26 budget, which had predicted a 2.8% increase for all pay inflation. This increase to 3.2% for senior managers places an additional cost pressure of approximately £70,000 above the budget, while the Chief Executive Officers, the CEOs, increase adds under £10,000. Benchmarking data against five nearby councils, that is Bedfordshire, Buckinghamshire, Essex, Kent and Cambridge, showed Hertfordshire County Council's senior staff salaries were broadly in line with the average among local authorities. Herts heads of service typically earn between £70,000 and £103,000 per year, while among local councils the average figure is £59,000 to £110,000. Other benchmarking data for the CEO's role showed that Hertfordshire pays around £20,000 more for its top job compared to its five neighbours, who typically pay around £222,832. A report into the CEO's pay offer stated, "The Chief Executive's current salary is approximately £20,000 higher than the average of neighbouring councils, showing the council's salary for this role remains competitive." Ms. Austin stated, "The context of the pay settlement for April 2025 is that despite inflation falling, interest rates and the cost of living remain high and real terms pay growth has remained flat. Councillors voted first to implement the raise for senior staff and then a second vote was held to approve the raise for the CEO's position."
If you're looking for a fun family day out, the Hospice of St Francis will be hosting a charity garden party on Sunday, 14th of September at Ashridge House in Berkhamsted. This year sees the return of their circus skills, craft activities and dog show, plus face painting, Pim's tent, shop local village, food stalls and cream teas. Advance tickets, adult £8, child 3 to 18, £4, under threes and carers free. Book tickets on the website stfrancis.org.uk.
And now I'm looking a little further ahead because Ashridge House Illuminated returns for the 2025 season, ready to light up Hertfordshire with over 20 sparkling light displays, including brand new installations and a better than ever festive food village, offering visitors this year a truly elevated experience. Google searches for Lights Trail peaked every November and December as Brits begin planning for fun, festive experiences for the whole family. And this year's event promises to be a glittering addition to every family's festive traditions. Magic illuminates every step along the 1.7-kilometre trail that weaves through the estate's historic Grade 2 star-listed gardens, where more than 20 dazzling installations will mesmerise each and every visitor, with more magical moments and festive photo opportunities than ever before, including never-before-seen displays. Ashridge House Illuminations is not to be missed. Event details. The illuminations open from the 27th of November 2025 through to the 1st of January 2026. The first entry is from 4 p.m. and last entry 7:30 p.m. Tickets from £14.40 for children and £23.50 for adults. There's free parking right near the trail's entrance and wheelchair and buggy accessibility. Book now online at ashridgehouse.org.uk/what's-on/ashridge-house-illustrated. Booking and managing tickets to Ashridge House Illuminations couldn't be easier, thanks to the booking system that allows visitors to easily change the day of their visit in case of wet weather at absolutely no extra cost. Due to last year's popularity of dog-friendly sessions, dogs will once again be welcome to join their humans on the trail every Wednesday and Thursday evening. Pups and humans alike will have the opportunity to visit the extended festive food village, which promises to deliver a bigger and cozier experience than last year, with even more seasonal favourites, warming drinks and sweet treats from local traders. Confirmed traders will be serving wood-fire pizza, burger and chips, Lebanese grill, noodles, toasties, waffles, crumble, marshmallows and much more.
And to continue that story, David Evans, Managing Director of Ashridge House, says, "We're so excited to welcome visitors back to Ashridge House for what is surely becoming one of Hertfordshire's most magical festive traditions. Illuminated isn't just a stunning light trail. It's a chance to experience the beauty of the historic grounds in a completely unique way. Events like this are vital in helping us care for and preserve Ashridge House so that it can be enjoyed for generations to come. We're proud to be working with SLX again to create an unforgettable experience and introduce new, exciting light installations. While the focus is on creating magical moments, we're also committed to making the event greener, with more than 50% of the trail powered by green energy. We've listened to our visitors and brought back popular features like dog-friendly sessions, and we've expanded the festive food village with even more local produce and exciting vendors so everyone can make a whole evening of their visit. Illuminated really is a magical way to celebrate the season with friends and family, and we can't wait to open our gates and share this special experience once again. For more information, please visit ashridge-house.org.uk.
From the Ashridge illuminations later in the year to something a little closer date-wise. On Saturday, September the 13th, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m, the town centre will come alive with music, food and fun for the whole family. Activities include live music to get you dancing, a colourful parade from local community groups, a charming steam train, free face painting for the kids, delicious food and drink stalls to tempt your taste buds. Gather your friends, bring the kids and come celebrate community, creativity and fun right in the heart of Hemel.
A former Hertfordshire police officer has been sent to jail after he admitted to stealing underwear from a home whilst on duty. Last week at Cambridge Crown Court, Marcin Zielinski, 27, from Shefford, Bedfordshire, was given a four-month prison sentence. He admitted to one charge of theft and a charge of improper exercise of police powers and privileges by a constable when he appeared at court on August 4th. Cambridge Crown Court heard that Zielinski took underwear from a home he was searching in September of last year. Hertfordshire Constabulary has revealed that a woman was also arrested in connection with its investigation, but no further action was taken and she was released without charge. Zielinski resigned from the force while under investigation in November 2024. Hertfordshire Constabulary Assistant Chief Constable Jenna Telfer said, "Zielinski has let down the public of Hertfordshire, the police service as a whole, and his former colleagues who act with professionalism and integrity. His criminal behaviour damages the reputation of policing and represents a fundamental betrayal of the public and the values for which the police service stands."
Hertfordshire already has a higher employment rate than the government national target in the Get Britain Working white paper, county councillors heard. The Get Britain Working initiative set out a requirement for the local areas to develop their own local employment plan, in this case, Get Hertfordshire Working, which must be submitted to the Department for Work and Pensions, the DWP, with a focus on reducing joblessness. Hertfordshire Futures, formerly known as the Hertfordshire Local Enterprise Partnership, has been responsible for drafting the plan. A report into the plan, prepared by Norman Jennings, Deputy Director of Economy and Skills, was presented to the Economic Growth and Transport Cabinet Panel and set out some employment statistics. The report stated, "Overall, Hertfordshire has a high employment rate that is 80.6%, which is close to but slightly higher than the rate that has been set as the national target in the Get Britain Working white paper, i.e. 80%. There are currently about 130,000 economically inactive people aged 16 to 64 in Hertfordshire. Of these, around 29% are students, 28% are looking after family and home, 17% are long-term sick, 3% are temporarily sick, and 10% are retired.
And to continue that story, among those who are economically inactive, we estimate 15,000 to 25,000 individuals want a job and might be able to work if various barriers are addressed. This is a key statistic in terms of the Get Hertfordshire Working Plan, and identifying ways of appropriately supporting those 15,000 to 25,000 people will be a priority. Compared to elsewhere, Hertfordshire's challenges with inactivity are less acute. However, three important points need also to be made. Issues around worklessness continue to be very problematic indeed for many individuals and their families. Many of those who are in work experience poverty because of the high cost of living locally. Hence, progressing in jobs is really important locally. And employers struggle to recruit and retain staff in a very tight labour market. One of the things that young people used to have, which is not so prevalent now, is Saturday jobs and jobs after school.
To further continue, responding to the report, Councillor Alistair Willoughby said, "Obviously, we're not having our industry shouted out about, and so actually, I think there's a lot of people who live in our county who might be interested in going into some of those industries." Councillor Paula Hiscock said, "The emphasis is, as you were saying, on young people. I know we're trying to get those who are not into education, employment or training figures better, but they are still high. Looking at this report, there's an increase in our 20 to 24 age range, which is really worrying. By the time people get to their late 30s or 40s, you know, the rot's set in." Mr. Jennings responded, "Obviously, we want to encourage that. What I do know is that our further education colleges will run little job centres. So if there are vacancies, particularly for part-time work for their students, then they promote that to those students. So I know that is happening across our four further education colleges. Obviously, that only deals with people who are in further education. taking on the wider bit about working in young people and the experience of work, actually I think we need to start addressing this at a much earlier age. And I think it's about work experience while people are still in education, whether that's in school or colleges. A particular focus for us as we move forward with our careers and enterprise work will be on work experience and promoting more realistic and more valuable work experience for young people in education so that they can understand the importance of work, what the labour market is looking for, and what those opportunities are.
Football news. Hemel boss Lee Allinson has told his players they have to take courage and belief from their start to the Enterprise National League South season, despite suffering a first defeat at Dagenham and Redbridge on Bank Holiday Monday. The Tudors were beaten 2-1 in East London to fall to a first loss in five matches, having claimed an excellent 2-0 win over Dorking Wanderers on Saturday. They go into this Saturday's home date with a second-place Torquay United, sitting ninth in the table, having grabbed 8 points from a testing start to the campaign. And although Allinson was left frustrated by his side's defeat at Dagenham, where they trailed 2-0 at half-time before getting back into the game with an own goal, he believes they once again showed more than enough to prove they are competitive. "The first half wasn't good enough," Allinson told at Hemel FC. "We made changes and gave people opportunities, and I don't think people took those opportunities. We have been done on two counter-attacks, and that isn't good enough. But we have taken a full-time team all the way to 100 minutes, look fitter, look stronger, have hit the bar twice and had two unbelievable chances in the last minute, but it wasn't to be in the end. We can't let that derail us. We could have drawn with Dorking on Saturday, drawn at Dagenham on Monday and been over the moon with the 2 points. We have got 3 points and I think that's good because we knew we had a tough run at the start of the season."
And now cricket news. Hemel Hempstead County Cricket's first team slipped to an expected defeat against Old Owens, but the second team stayed on course for promotion. Hemel gave high-flying Old Owens a good test before falling short. Old Owens batted first and were soon 81 for 5 after Ollie Illett, 2 for 43, had led the Hemel bowlers through the Owens top order. But the fight came back, and despite Mark Brazier taking 3 for 43, Owens made it to 220 all out in 49 for 1 overs. Total to chase in 50 overs, but Hemel ended up 56 runs short, being dismissed for 164 in 43 overs. Skipper Hem Ilanganrantne top scored on 48, but the nearest score was then 21 from Angus Ball, and he lacked the support to get to the needed score. Old Owens remain in second place, Hemel remained in sixth, with the joys of a visit to Redbourne to come next weekend. Second 11, the A team, versus Ickleford, first 11, Division 3A. The only Hemel side to win on the Saturday is, as the seconds kept their third place in Division 3A and remained 20 points behind second place Wheat Hampstead. Hemel bowled Ickleford out for 163 in 39.2 overs, with the returned from Edinburgh Will Hodgkins picking up 3 for 56 at the top, and his dad, the ever-retiring Nick Hodgkins, picking up 2 for 1 from 14 balls at the end. Hemel then almost made a mess of the chase, slipping to 46 for 5, but Will Langley, 65, straightened things out along with Nick Hodgkins, 24, and Adam Mulster, 29, not out, and Hemel won the game with 164 for 7 in 42.2 overs. Third 11 A team versus Ampt Hill Town, second 11 Division 6A. A narrow one-wicket defeat for Hemel thirds against seventh-placed Ampt Hill, but they still remained first in pole position in Division 6. Batting first, Hemel never really got their batting act together and were dismissed for 155 in 41 overs.
We're coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 06:11 and 19:55. Don't forget, for those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. For those who are listening to this week's news on Memory Stick, please remove your memory stick carefully from the player and return it to us in the pouch provided. Turn the label over and post it back to us using any Royal Mail postbox. No stamp is required. Thank you for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and Joe, your technician for this week.